Could you please?
Welcome, Santa Cruz.
Yeah, welcome, Santa Cruz.
Today is International Women's Day. International Women's Day is marked on March 8th every year. It's a major day of global celebration for the economic, political, and social achievements of women. The first International Women's Day was observed on 28th of February, 1909 in the United States. And it followed a declaration by the Socialist Party of America. Among other relevant historic events, it commemorates the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory Fire, New York, 1911, where over 140 women lost their lives. The idea of having an International Women's Day was first put forth at the turn of the 20th century amid rapid world industrialization and economic expansion that led to protests over working conditions. Women from clothing and textile factories staged one protest on March 1857. Did you have to say that? Okay. The garment workers were protesting. What they saw is very poor working conditions and low wages. The protesters were attacked and dispersed by police. These women established their first labor union in the same month, 2 years later. More protests followed on March 8th and subsequent years. Most notable in 1908, when 15,000 women marched through New York City, demanding shorter hours, better pay, and voting rights. In 1910, the first International Women's Conference was held in Copenhagen by the Socialist International, and an International Women's Day was established, which was submitted by the important German socialist Clara Zetkin. The following year, International Women's Day was marked by over 1 million people in Austria, Denmark, Germany, Switzerland. However, soon thereafter, the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire in New York City killed over 140 garment workers. A lack of safety measures was blamed for the high death toll. Furthermore, on the eve of World War I, women across Europe held peace rallies on March 8, 1913. Demonstrations marking International Women's Day in Russia proved to be the first stage of the Russian Revolution in 1917. In the West, International Women's Day has been commemorated during the 1910s and 20s, but dwindled. It was revived in the rise of feminism in the 1960s. In 1975, which had been designated as International Women's Year by the United Nations. In 2005, Congress Conference of the British Trades Unions Congress overwhelmingly approved a resolution calling for International Women's Day to be designated a public holiday in the United Kingdom. It is a day in Mexico and different places all around the world where women take to the streets and women are fighting back. And welcome today to International Women's Day, Santa Cruz.
And Diane Patterson is in the studio. Yay. Yay. And it looks like there's a global women's strike today. So if you're at work, you should just walk out right now. If you're a woman and you're at work, just say, I'm sorry, I need to go, I'm a woman. They'll think maybe you're on your period, but who cares?
If you're cooking your breakfast, maybe put down that frying pan.
Mamas are
no
on strike today.
No need to do any laundry today.
The mamas.
Get your sons to do the laundry.
Always need to, that's just it.
Because in addition to the work that women do to make money outside of the home, they also are caregivers and mothers and breastfeeders and birthers and taking care of the sick and the elderly and the young. And we want value for that work. And so that's partly why they're striking today also, is to value women's work.
Nice. I'm a mama.
Yeah,
I
I'm
have
a
two
mama
daughters.
Too. And Anne's a mama too.
Anne's a mama too.
And Diane is co-mama.
Right on.
For 9 years now.
It does take a village.
Yeah.
I agree.
Well, welcome to Free Radio Santa Cruz. So glad that you could make it here today. Diane Patterson.
Oh, and Kelly Green.
Kelly Green. Thank you. And you're going to be on, you're going to another station after this, I hear.
You know,
was that going
to
happen?
They were trying to.
Yeah, they were trying to get us over on the open road.
Yeah.
But they were away, and somebody filled up the space, and so they emailed me. I know, I was really excited about it.
International Women's Day.
I know.
Well, we're going to celebrate it in style here on the community radio, Free Radio Santa Cruz.
And they said to say hi to you, JT and Robin, over there. Yeah, yeah. So Yeah, I wish we were going over to KUSP and talking about it also.
I think I'm just going to sit back and enjoy this show. And I recommend all you out there, women and men alike, enjoy this.
What if we started with a woman's hand?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You did.
A woman strong.
You just played it?
You played woman strong.
A woman strong. Good. Okay. Good. What's that? Just a little part? Okay. Right. Oh, a woman strong. Yeah, we heard it. Mm-hmm. This one's an older song of mine in response to there's the Pete Seeger song that says, "One man's hands can't tear the prison down." And a long time ago, I said to myself, "Woman's hand can tear the prison down." And anyway, a woman's hand can tear the prison down. A woman's hand can break the hard, cold ground. A woman's hand, she lived the suffering down, and her face did not to frown. Yeah, yeah, yeah. A woman's hand, she bring the young ones home from war. A woman's hand can raise a child alone. A woman's hand, she give a poor dog a bone, and she sings above the drone. Oh, yeah. A woman's hand, she heals you when you bleed. A woman's hand, now she's out marching for peace. A woman's hand, she may steal like a thief, but she takes just what she needs. Oh, 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 oh. A woman's hand should help her sister birthing. A woman's hand to climb oppression mountain. Oh, a woman's hand should give and she ain't counting, cause her love is a fountain. 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 It's like a green growing river flowing love. Her love, her love is a mountain. Her love is a mountain. Just like that big mountain, like the elders at Big Mountain, and the resistance at Big Mountain, cause they're holding it back, hanging on that big mountain, cause her love, is a mountain, her love 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 is a mountain. 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 Her love. This is musicians singing in the morning, but you know, International Women's Day, we'll make it happen.
I think it sounded great. And, I love that song, and it's only true. That's all, just true.
Yeah, I was at the Renaissance Fair a long time ago, and I started singing that song with a drum somebody put in my hands. I thought, wow, we're going to see how timeless this song is. Does it fit in with centuries ago play? And it really did. It really did. There was nothing in it that didn't fit to eons. And here we are.
But it seems like societies might have forgotten the love, the mountain of love that women have, and 5,000 years of patriarchal domination has gotten in the way.
Are we bored yet?
Yes.
Yes.
Patriarchy. Are women bored yet?
Are men
yes.
bored? Everybody should be bored.
Everybody's bored. So today we get to talk about it.
Yeah.
I mean, we've tried to focus our work in Diane's music around bringing attention to the issues of war and destruction and human rights and women's issues as well as people's issues. But really, as women, the re-empowerment of women is really at the center, and we feel at the core. And when that shifts, everyone's going to be happy. Everything is going to be different. I mean, obviously, the depression, the repression of women for 5,000 years, we're feeling, we're seeing the long-term effects of that. And we're one of the few generations that we know of that's actually liberating ourselves from that oppression. And we've been reading some Andrea Dworkin and getting some of the facts
of the of slavery of women, and how that was the first people enslaved were women, by men. On this continent, in this country.
One of the things that I was just hearing you saying about women having a mountain of love, and I guess I'm feeling a little like sometimes that mountain of love is like been worn away and worn away and worn away by patriarchy to the point that like people just, the love is gone. Like I just had a woman just not even care that I was trying to cross the street. She was in a car. She could get there through the cross, you know, walk and cut me off, you know, before I was like actually in front of her car, and she just did it. And I'm like thinking to myself, wow, you were so in your own world. Like, I don't even matter.
Yeah.
And it seems like even on a small scale, that seems to be happening to people where they like lose that love. And I just think it's really important to remember that that love is something we need to nurture and encourage in other people.
Yeah, because it's people. It's not just women and men. It's that we need to drop the whole gender idea of, you know, thinking that it's all about men and women, and that we need to start to open up the idea that it is about ending male domination, that male domination and the idea of having to have power over someone else, that we all need to share the power, exuberate in the power that exists in the world, and provide for the needy. And this will bring us so much happiness and so many rewards.
Although I totally agree with you, I still want to say that today I'm not going to forget gender. It's International Women's Day, and I want to honor women. I think men are honored so often throughout the year that we really need our own space to be proud of who we are after all this crap that's happened for centuries against us as the beings that we are, which is a gendered being. But I think that ultimately the goal would be to get rid of gender. But then we couldn't celebrate International Women's Day.
I
want to celebrate
of course
that.
We celebrate the fact that women have equal pay and to you know that there's equal justice and social justice in the world. That's what we celebrate. We need to celebrate that.
I agree.
It's true. And we, you know, we have found in our travels that just even mentioning a woman, saying the word woman, or women's issues really ruffles some feathers. And by emphasizing or focusing on the woman or the divine feminine, that somehow we're leaving something out. But what we realize is that because there has been a suppression of divine feminine and of women, literally, for so long, that we need to emphasize it in order to bring it back up into any sort of equilibrium. And then to go beyond that, to know that the marriage of male and female was actually within in the ancient world, and it wasn't polarized. Men and women were not polarized into separate genders. We were all community working together in divine feminine, divine masculine. We're all within us, whether we were men or women. But it was honored. And as we see destruction of the earth, through the stolen and raped resources and war, I mean, we're seeing what's happening to the divine feminine. We're seeing what it looks like in the men when they don't get to be with their divine feminine. So we feel right now that we do need to emphasize divine feminine, that we do need to speak of woman, that we do need to all together, all of us in our community, need to lift them back up. They gave birth to the men. They gave birth to the workers. They gave birth to the people they want to go off into these wars. and we have had no say in that for a very long time.
And speaking of lifting us back up, I have to mention that yesterday the Santa Cruz Sentinel ran a very derogatory image of Cindy Sheehan. She was on all fours with her shirt over her head and her bra was exposed. And it was a picture of her rear end on all fours, and it was, and the men were leering and touching her body over her, and it was a very sad choice of photos that they could choose to run, and they ran it on this like second page or third page of the front section of the Sentinel, and to me this is unconscionable. So I encourage people, remind the Sentinel to help women stand up and to, you know, this is insane.
Especially somebody like Cindy Sheehan, who is standing up,
she's
willing to walk to the front door of
United Nations,
so-called.
Where she was yesterday.
Yes.
Or the, yeah.
She deserves a lot more than an image that doesn't show her as she actually is, and that is standing up for her son who died in Iraq and for every woman's son.
Right. I asked the Sentinel in a letter yesterday, to whose benefit is it running an image like that?
Well,
who benefits from that?
Today they ran, you know, an article about International Women's Day, and then underneath it, there's an article about how Santa Cruz is a great place for single white men to meet women.
Yeah, in reference to International Women's Day?
No, it's just a separate
just
article.
It's right under it.
The second article.
It was a cover article, actually. It was a cover article about men's health and how you can paddle out with a hot babe or something like that. Unbelievable.
Well, I want.
It is funny, isn't
we
it?
We could hear you talking on the radio as we were coming over here, and I wanted to mention about how there is an unawareness that today is International Women's Day, that it's National Women's History Month, and that it's the 7th Global Women's Strike. And what Diane and I have been doing for 3 years now is bringing attention to that and trying to gather the community. And we realize, I mean, for us, it's obvious that we need to do something on this day and acknowledge it, but it doesn't seem to be within the community. And so
times on International Women's Day in the past, and so I don't want to lose that history. Right here in Santa Cruz, we had actions. We did civil disobedience.
Great.
And, so it's a part of our heritage here in Santa Cruz. So
well, Santa Cruz is
Santa Cruz, hopefully,
special place of being, having a long lineage of awareness and consciousness and activation, and we felt very blessed when our friends helped us move here, and we've been community supported here for 7 years, and it because of that lineage, we feel really lucky to be here. But in addition, how many people know that there have been actions in Santa Cruz for a long time?
Unfortunately, both the people that did a lot of those actions, we haven't written a book. We need to write and document this history.
Absolutely.
For all of us.
And for us, we tour all year long. We're community service volunteers. We travel the West Coast with music, as many of your listeners know, and activating on many issues. International Women's Day comes early in the winter, in the spring. And for us, January is kind of our slow time, and we kind of try to be like the bears. And so we don't do a lot of organization by March 8th. We're just not in that state. So I realized as of March 8th, 2006, we're going to spend the entire year until March 8th, 2007, talking about the Global Women's Strike and bringing attention to women's issues, because it's literally as if you have to sit down and debate whether or not there is an oppression of women. And quite frankly, I think that pretty much everybody across the board, unless you're rich and empowered, which means having power over, is oppressed. But we need to focus on bringing the women back into where they are self-determined, where they are speaking their mind, where they're deciding what's happening with their children, where they're deciding what's happening in their communities. They're deciding whether or not their government's going off to war or not and destroying other communities. And that's not happening right now. So
I want to give a shout out to the cast up at UCSC that did the Vagina Monologues, and to remind everyone that that is an occasion that happens, and they're moving it, I think, a little closer to International Women's Day now, the
That's
performances.
A great idea.
So this could be a way to begin the conversation, to start the organizing, to get the ball rolling earlier and earlier. And I just really commend the groups. What they did up there this year was a lot of the young women wrote and added some of their own lines to the script. To elaborate, especially on the piece on comfort women, so-called comfort women. It was beautifully done. Shout out to them. Hooray.
That's great. And we'd love to start documenting some stories. I think it might help if the men and the women could hear the stories, because I feel like it's invisible, that the suffering that's been happening is invisible. And I also like to mention that there's another play happening, and I don't think it's intentionally happening around International Women's Day, but it's in Seaside. It's through Don Williams Rainbow Theater, and it's all women, and it's a free show on Sunday. And I don't have the details with me, but I know it's happening, and I wanted to mention that. I also know that we have some women friends up in Oregon who are in court over these few days because they did an all-women's action to defend the Siskiyou Mountains last year around this time. It's 22 women, four generations, and Joan Norman, she initially was the sole woman to sit and blockade the bridge before there was an actual organization of 22 women, including her, and she was arrested. She was 75. Unfortunately, she died in a car accident this summer. And but I know that Becky is up in Oregon. Our friends Carrie and many others are dealing with the court systems right now because they were physically removed from the bridge last year. Becky White was suspended over a bridge. She was actually suspended, blockading the bridge and trying to defend a very fragile and sacred area up in the Siskiyou in the forest up there. So we're thinking about them. as well as our international sisters who are under also. I mean, this Global Women's Strike organizes 60 countries. So today and for days before and days after, there are women organizing all over the world. And really, one of the biggest issues of the strike is the trillion-dollar worldwide military budget. I mean, so you're talking about women who are suffering, who are addressing issues that are affecting everyone. And 10% of that worldwide military budget of $1 trillion, half of which is the United States military budget, would provide the basic essentials for all human life on the planet. 10% of the worldwide military budget. So this is at the front of the strike.
Demands.
And if there is a website that you can go to at www.globalwomenstrike.net, we're not big internet people, but this is one website that I refer people to, everyone. And there's also a website for the men who also work with the Global Women's Strike, who also want to see the wars end, and that's called www.refusetokill.net.
Refusingtokill.net,
yes. And the network is called Payday Network. And that's the men's network that works with the Global Women's Strike. And, I mean, we love men, and we can't wait until we can all be in harmony again, and where we're, as Diane and I heal and transform our lives, become empowered and liberated women, we need to have men to relate to that are not holding patriarchal relationships with us. We don't want to be pushed back into how we were conditioned. We want to be in relationship with men. We want to work at this together with them, but the patriarchy has to go, and that's male dominance over everything, which has been basically, according to the women who have done the research, Vicki Noble, Shekinah Mountainwater, et cetera, 5,000 years. That's a long time. We figured out that might be 200 generations. It's in our DNA. So for us to be different is going to take some deep cellular healing, which is where the music comes in, because the music helps us to take the healing. So it's not the men we want to go.
No.
We want the patriarchy to go.
So I know I like work kind of in a mainstream environment, and I know that some of the people that I work with definitely feel like women are much more liberated today than they were
Absolutely.
Before. Well, they like think that women who are like stripping are liberated, and they go and they pay to see these women stripping and have conversations with these women. And the women feel like they're liberated. And to me, I feel like they're participating in the objectification of women, which then actually endangers me as a woman walking down the street late at night. And I mean, I don't see the liberation. And so I was just wondering if you could kind of talk about how that's...
It seems like exploiting women in any fashion is not liberation. I think women may feel liberated doing that work because it pays them so much money that they can meet their economic needs. But it's still the exploitation of women. It's still pornography in some fashion, which, according to Andrea Dworkin, is the possession of women, which puts us all in an unsafe place.
And the fact is, in that situation, that the man is in complete control. She's not in control. She doesn't decide if her paycheck's coming in or if somebody's going to put that dollar bill in her bustier or whatever. She's, like you said, she needs the money. So I'd like to see women more empowered and doing things that evolve them. I think What the Bleep said it really well. One of the metaphysicians that were interviewed in the movie What the Bleep Do We Know, they said, it's not that something is good or bad. It's, does it evolve us or not?
Yeah, right. I want to ask for a song.
Just ask the music.
I want a song.
Should we have the song about Joan Norman?
Sure. Yeah. That's good. Diane wrote a song about the action that we were talking about up in the Siskiyous in Southern Oregon.
Mm-hmm. You want to put that mic up to my guitar?
Yeah.
Breathe in, breathe out, breathe in. Breathe in, oldness. Young and old, stand up for the Siskiyous. Says the cover of the Wild News. Joan Norman used to stand for the Siskiyous, stand for the trees and for their beauty. But it's not about me, she said. I stand for the
celebrating International Women's Day here in Santa Cruz today with Diane Patterson and Kelly Green here in the studios with us. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I know you spoke a little bit about the beginning of International Women's Day, but I think we read that the strike started in Ireland. Some women in Galway were organizing in 1999, started thinking about it, and then the first one happened in 2000. So we're at the seventh. Global Women's Strike now?
Oh, Global Women's
Global
Strike.
Women's Strike. Yeah, Global right. Women's Strike, because not actually, International Women's Day.
International Women's Day was often a strike, was a strike by workers, began by and fed through a lot of the ideas of labor rights and labor issues.
So. You said it partly began with the shirtwaist factory fire. Is that what it's called?
It began before that. Triangle waist fire only emphasized some of the need for reforms in the workplace because of the 140 women that died. But this is the very first one, I think, was 1857 in United States as a labor strike. Yeah,
I have. It says the Global Women's Strike was born in 1999. Women in Ireland decided to welcome the new millennium with the National General Strike. They asked the International Wages for Housework campaign to support their call, and we called on women all over the world to make the strike global on 8 March 2000.
Pick up that broom.
Yeah.
Take to the
street. Well, you should see this image of the women of South Africa with their brooms and shovels cleaning up their neighborhoods.
Hear that the women were going to be compensated with the social security credit for,
yeah,
for their work in the home
in Venezuela.
Venezuela. Mm-hmm.
We are working women who are building a caring economy, and won Article 88 of the Constitution, which recognizes housework as an economic activity that creates added value and produces social welfare and wealth, entitling housewives to social security.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the gap between women's wages and men's is 25% to 50% and growing, lowering our pensions and our social power at every age.
I want to invite people who may be listening. If you have a request for Diane, maybe you could try calling 427-3772. And I want to let you know, the first time I ever saw you, you had a broken arm or a broken leg. I can't remember. One of your limbs was broken, and you came out on stage and played. You came out on stage.
That was a girl fest.
Yeah. And I just am in awe of you.
You
are, you are so awesome. You are the divine right there in front of me.
They call her the folk goddess at the Whole Earth Festival, where she's been playing for 17 years now.
Very, very fitting.
And she has truly committed her music to the issues and has done a lot of work with her music around women's issues. She did a lot of Take Back the Nights in Davis. And we'd love, if anyone's out there listening, we'd love to connect with the Take Back the Night women up on the campus.
Part of our work with Green Eye Records Foundation is with the youth, and we're always trying to find ways to empower the youth, get the youth involved. And we have a 17-year-old daughter. Well, recently we've had the blessing of starting to work with a 17-year-old drummer, a woman named Katie, who lives here in town. She's a friend of our daughter, and it's been just great getting to know her. And we were rehearsing one day in the studio, and I said, you know, I really want you to play this festival coming up with me this year. It's Whole Earth Festival. It's in Davis. It'll be the 17th year I played it. Can you believe that? She said, oh, that's how old I am. Anyway, funny, but yeah, the circle is expanding, and it's good to bring in the youth.
And I know Anne does a lot of work with the youth, and we're so grateful for that. And we've also been trying to clear some space and do some outreach. And, you know, we are having, I'm not doing a big production this year, just because, like I said, for us to meet our own basic human needs, we've been homeless since 2000. We're community supported here. The downtime for us is in the winter. And so it's a little slow out by March 8th. And so, but we are hosting a house concert. It's going to be very informal and impromptu, but providing a space for women and men to gather this evening from 7:30-ish to 10-ish. And I'm going to put out my number, and if you'd like to come, just call us, and we'll call you back with directions. And that number is 831-515-4100, extension 107. And Diane and Katie this evening will be playing for the first time together.
And we'll go into ceremony and hold a sacred, safe space to raise energy. And as Gandhi says, to be the change we want to see in the world in solidarity with women everywhere. And typically we've chosen to work on this day for women who don't get to take the day off. That's been a common theme for women we've talked to, is they cannot take the day off. And so what we've suggested is for women to just acknowledge that today is International Women's Day, that it is a global women's strike, and that, you know, to hold a space, take 5 minutes on your break and hold a space. Think about what's going on in your life. Take a moment to look inside your own life. What are your grievances? What would you like to see change? Do you want to see the war stop, or do you want to see something in your own life? How about that we aren't constantly exposed to toxic technologies and toxic environments that are leaving our friends and our elders sick with cancer, men and women? But right now, Shekinah Mountain Water is sick with cancer. We lost Andrea Jorkin. We lost Monica Shu. And the list, I mean, it just goes on and on and on we met two women in the fall who've been assaulted here in Santa Cruz in the Farmers Market parking lot. They say there's no safe place in Santa Cruz for them that they can find to be sheltered and to be safe. I mean, there are real issues. What are each of us as women's issues, personal issues? And then I'd be into going into the issues of women that were translated for 40 languages, the strike, why we strike. Last year we forgot to mention why we strike, and the person who wrote up the article in the paper said it was because of the pukey patriarchy. Now, if anybody who knows Diane and I, we're very, very particular about the language that we use. It's one of our ways to be in peaceful direct action. We would never say pukey patriarchy. We do talk about the patriarchy, but not in that way. So this year we said we have to be clear about what the strike demands. Well, I mean, why women are striking, because for us we think it's obvious, but it's not. I think that the oppression of women in the United States is masked. I think it's invisible. I think it's camouflaged because you can have monetary access and other things that maybe other countries cannot access themselves. So let's see. Why go on strike? Okay, so this is directly from the website. Women and girls do 2/3 of the world's work, most of it unpaid. I also read that the 80% of food production in Africa is that labor comes from women. $1 trillion a year is spent on the military worldwide, more than half by the U.S., as I mentioned. 10% would provide the essentials for all life: water, sanitation, basic health, nutrition, literacy, as well as minimum income. We're also striking for a world which values all women's work and all women's lives. We're also striking because of the world's 100 largest economic entities, 51 are corporations and 49 are countries. People everywhere see that governments are promoting corporate greed against us while lining their own pockets. They impose structural adjustment programs and cuts in services and welfare benefits, impoverishing us and imposing killing over work. Now remember, these are the words of women translated from 40 languages around the world. This is not my specific language. The gap between women's wages and men's is 25 to 50% and growing, lowering our pensions and our social power at every age. So the central demand of the strike is payment for all caring work. So the demands in wages, pensions, lands, or other resources. What is more valuable than raising children and caring for others? Invest in life and welfare, not military budgets and prisons. So the other demands are pay equity for all women and men in the global market, food security for breastfeeding mothers, paid maternity leave, maternity breaks, stop penalizing us for being women, don't pay third world debt, we owe nothing, they owe us. Remember, this is all being translated from women in 40 different languages. Accessible clean water, healthcare, housing, transport, literacy, non-polluting energy and technologies, which shorten the hours of work. We all need, it says, cookers, fridges, washing machines, computers, and time off. I would like to find a way to go back to doing this without computers. It is a very toxic technology.
protection and asylum from all violence and persecution, including by family members and people in position of authority. Freedom of movement. Capital travels freely. Why not people? So these are some of the demands that have come from the, you know.
They're beautiful demands. They're not, you know, it's not to anyone's hurt. You know, it's like, who's it going to hurt to have those? All that is just benefit for everyone.
For everyone.
For everyone.
Which is part of the characteristics of the divine feminine, is which we can have in everyone, is that we're thinking of others, we're compassionate of others, we're caring of others, and we're doing for others.
You mentioned at the end the violence, to stop the violence, but I think that's so that could be reemphasized.
Yes.
That's why I want to go on strike. I want to stop the violence. I want to... what was the name of that website for the guys to go to? Stop Killing?
refusingtokill.net.
I like that. That would be a wonderful thing to get behind, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Because we kill people's spirits. Rape kills people's spirits, and... we all have to, you know, try to heal and bring ourselves back to a kind of neutral place so that we can just function in the world. And so it's so important that we stop that psychic killing through violence and the
absolutely.
Violence that we that exists.
And it's still happening. I mean, you know, as survivors, as many of us are survivors, we hope that our children and our community's children do not have to still deal with that. But we know of youth that are still dealing with that today here in this community.
Yeah.
And we also know what's happening in Turkey, where they can stone the women to death for going outside of their marriages, their patriarchal marriages.
More in Iran than Turkey. Just Turkey doesn't really do that. Turkey's pretty progressive toward women.
Really?
My sister lives there.
I thought
and
I just heard something about that.
Well, Turkey, they do. They still have retribution by a male sibling. You know, fathers and brothers will try to go after their sisters and wives if they find out that they've been raped or adultery. You know, that they've committed adultery. But it's done kind of on the subterfuge. It's not done publicly like it is in Iran.
Okay,
unfortunately,
good.
In Iran, they do public stoning.
Okay.
Yeah. And
it's good
and
to
the
be clear.
Taliban, clearly what they've done in Afghanistan was to...
How about those acid burnings in India?
That's very much... It's also no, illegal, but it's not done...
But
it's not
done.
Government. It's not government sanctioned. But that's just... when she said the stonings, that's a government-sanctioned act.
Oh.
As well as in Pakistan with the woman who is being called the bravest woman in the world, who made a stand after she was raped by tribal, by order of her tribal council
for something her brother did.
Mm-hmm. Six men gang raped her, and she decided, most of the other women in her community were telling her to just let it go and leave it alone. She decided to say something about it, and there was like, they ended up prosecuting the men who did this, but then they were acquitted. Because, you know, with community radio, thank goodness that we get a little bit of the information, you know, whereas we wouldn't get any. But we still sometimes just get bits and pieces of when we can tune in. So the last I heard is she was going to speak before the United Nations, and her country blocked it. And so this is, this is happening in some fashion around the world. I also was listening about how in India, when the children are born, if a little girl is born, she's not celebrated. But if a little boy is born, they sing to him and they celebrate him. And I'm just thinking, you know, I'm thinking we're in some other time where we don't know any better, that every child should be valued.
And they're finding that they have like 100,000 fewer females born in India because they're doing sex selection during the time in which she could still have an abortion and get rid of the female child. So that's certainly.
So there is just a general misogyny still around the planet.
Yep.
And we really just are taking this moment to bring attention to it, and then wanting to create opportunities within ourselves and our communities to heal it. To heal it together with the men, because I think the men are just as anxious to be liberated from the roles and conditioning and the boxes that the patriarchy places them to. I'd like
you
to believe
sometimes,
that.
Sometimes I run into, it feels like I run into men who really want to hang on to their privilege, and really don't want to women be equal. And those are like some of the people I work with. Sometimes I feel like maybe they're that way, and I don't know what to do about it.
I think because you said them. You have a pretty mainstream job, so I would say mostly in the mainstream that awareness wouldn't be there. But I'd like to acknowledge some of the guys here some of the men in alternative communities that are changing and are more open.
And it's often a defense and a front to try to maintain some sense of their own self-identity, because they've been taught from such an early age that their whole purpose in life is to try to dominate and to prove that they're bullies and prove that they're dominating. And this is an impossible position for them to be in, because it's a relational state and somebody always has to be put down. It's really impossible to juggle that kind of a job. So they have to be defensive. And so how do we break out of that? How do we come together behind refusing to kill? Because I think it's a refusing to kill our spirits. It's refusing to kill our own human potential. Because it is about evolving, I think. And how do we get to that next place?
So I'm totally there, refusing to kill, right? And I look at Howard Stern, and I go, what do I do now? What do I do? I love Howard Stern as a human being. I want him to be a beautiful person. To me, he's incredibly negative. He's incredibly damaging. And
exploiting.
He's got a lot of... Oh, it looks like we have a caller. He's got a lot of listeners. Some of my neighbors listen to him. And they make the most insane comments to me. But how can I get through to someone like Howard Stern with love so he can become aware? But I guess we should take this call first. Or just go ahead and answer that question, if you can.
For us, I think that we've been guided to, rather than focusing on and running cords to that which is the most negative in our lives, whether it be the administration or people like Howard Stern, we've been focusing on planting seeds of what's going to grow in the place of what's currently composting. So I wonder if we're all co-creating our futures, positive or negative. I can't control what Howard Stern's doing. I have no interest in running cords to him or to the administration. What I want to do is work with the community through art and to build something new. And a place where we can meet our economic needs without exploitation, and where women can meet their economic needs without having to trade their souls, whether it be to marriage or to exploitive work, whether you're stripping or many other mainstream jobs, you're still trading your soul to make a living. And let's jump to the idea that have we been taught that the Mother Earth is a capitalist, that she will only give us her resources if we can pay her at a profit for them? I don't think so. I think actually that she offers those to us as a gift, as a sacred gift, and that who we should be working for is for her, not the middleman that's making money.
I totally agree with you. But we do have a caller, and the caller wanted to speak to you. But you know what? We're going to have to turn...
Hello?
Hello, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Barbara, and I was at the event you did at the Attic for International Women's Strike Day.
Oh, thank you, last year.
And it was very excellent.
Thank you.
To see that women were teaching other women. And it seems like the opportunity to do that, to connect in our community, has really changed. And it's been really hard, I think, because it doesn't seem like we have the equal legal ability to defend ourselves, and we're also responsible for our children. And right now I'm having a very hard time with being able to honestly feel like this is in any way supportive of women or fair, because our rights also stand for our children. And when our rights are violated, there's no one to stand up for our children.
What?
And I don't know if there's anything we can do other than support each other through this process.
I think that's there's always lots to do. Today we're going to be meeting at the Town Clock. If you want to join us today at the Town Clock to celebrate International Women's Day, we're going to start at 5 p.m. to 6:30, and then you'll still have time to get to the house party for Diane Patterson tonight. And so there's going to be a lot of ways to celebrate. You can either call Media Watch at 423-6355, and for the house party,
831-515-4100, mm-hmm. extension 107.
I'm here.
Yeah.
And also, never despair. I think the most important thing is to maintain optimism and to remember that if you can change one thing every day, you can always change your own attitude about how you look at yourself, how you help your daughter look at a life through her eyes, that there's lots of opportunity and lots of ways to create social change, but it always begins with each and every one of us.
And thank you for all that you do, because I look back at this beautiful presentation from last year and the mother and the daughter dancing, and I remember where I was at last year and trying to write grants, and that now it has, because except for the District of Columbia, women do not have economic equal rights mm-hmm. to protect themselves legally. I'm finding these things out the hard way, because it's like as the rules change and we can't even provide for our children.
Mm-hmm. It's so important to have hope and
to keep the love alive, because it is that change within us. Because it isn't going to change. Women seem to even, like, we're not talking about gender issues specifically, but it seems that there was a very wise person here once, Tony Hill, talking about internalized oppression. Mm-hmm. And I see women take on roles to comply, to subjugate, and somewhat mimic the patriarchy that seems to not allow us to be human.
Yeah.
And I think that honoring the beauty of creation and really valuing who we are is so essential. And it is just so wonderful you can be there to support that celebration, because it can't be simple at this point.
That we get so that we can do our activism and organize around the Global Women's Strike and International Women's Day.
And thank you so much for your call. And we're going to give some time back to Diane for some music here. We really appreciate you calling. And the number here in the studio is 427-3772. And happy International Women's Day to you.
Yeah, and I'd like to just address something that she said, that it seems like, well, Andrea Dworkin said that we've been slaves for so long we've forgotten that we're not free. And so a lot of our work for many years is about bringing awareness, just getting awareness out that that women are oppressed, that we live in a patriarchal society, that war is not good for any living thing, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it takes up a lot of time just to bring awareness. And what we found that through community gatherings and coming together in a safe space, that we can feel connected again. And also we find our hope because we feel all of the same pressures. Like I said, we've been homeless for many years. We volunteer our time. We rely upon community generosity and donations in order to meet our basic human needs, in order to get from one community to the next. And sometimes that comes in and sometimes it doesn't. And so there's definitely moments, you know, I mean, if we could meet our basic human needs, we could get to a lot of other things. But the oppression, obviously at the core of oppression is denying basic human rights, not being able to access human rights. In Santa Cruz, you can't go to sleep unless you can pay for it after 6 p.m. There's a sleeping ban. That's a violation of human rights. So I invite this woman to come and connect with us if she can.
And I also, you know, because we're activated, because every day that we have the energy, we are trying to do something to either change ourselves on the inside or to contribute to the change that's happening on the planet, that keeps us hopeful.
Exactly. All right. So. Well, maybe we can have another song from Diane. That would be great.
Okay, great.
You got you here. We want to
hear you. I'll take that mic.
Okay, this and you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. This is the feminist radio show every Wednesday between 10 and noon.
Lady Liberty, lift up your light for me. Give me some truth I need.
I really, really liked that last piece, and as you were singing about being midwife of your own vision and of your own, you know, what you want to happen,
yeah.
I flashed on the Hmong women who go into, they go into a room when they're beginning to give birth by themselves and come out with the baby. And
really?
I think that I wanted to say this, I guess, to the caller and also to women who are out there who might feel like they're kind of alone. You know, we are strong. And if we were conditioned not to need the doctor to give birth, we could very easily do what the Hmong women do. so we can give birth alone to our own vision. And I just think that that's a beautiful song, and it just made me think of that. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, good one.
We may be having to take care of our own right to choice as well without doctors.
Oh, yeah.
Like in South Dakota. I mean, it's
going on in South Dakota.
I think that we're going to have to start being drivers or helping these women out. I mean, clearly, if they're saying that victims of rape and incest are not going to be able to have access to an abortion, this is time for major action, I think.
I think that's just to make it come up in front of the Supreme Court so that with this new Alito fellow, they can basically overturn Roe versus Wade.
Oh, my God.
Which...
Another assault on women.
I'll tell you what, women may have a hard time taking a day off, but if that happens, I think we'll all have to hit the streets and it'll be time to take a day.
Well, and it's really at the core of women's suppression, to suppress their sexuality and their self-determination, their
bodily
ability,
integrity.
Their bodily integrity, to decide for themselves if that these children are growing within their bodies. Empowered women would be deciding for themselves when they had families, when they didn't have families, and how that all played out. And we could imagine, and there's some literature of what it might have looked like in pre-patriarchal times and what we can see in the future. Self-determination of women having self-determination is at the core of women's empowerment. And at this point, it's suppressed. They don't have it, and we see it playing out in these legal battles over what they get to decide and don't get to decide. And it's just like we said, like Andrew Dworkin said, we've been slaves for so long we don't know we're not free. I mean, we live in a society that thinks that it's okay to tell women what they can do and what they can't do, and we're seeing the long-term effects of what it looks like when women aren't deciding for themselves what is best for themselves and their children. We're seeing what that looks like. We're seeing women sick in many ways, in emotional ways, who can't even hardly take care of their children anymore. Why? Because there's something the matter with them? No, because they are the daughters of oppressed women. We are the long-term effects of not being free in our bodies, in our lives, in our families, in our communities. So obviously this is at the center, and this is really what we're all looking to have shift. And obviously gender polarization is at a core issue in our society and around the world, and we feel when that's healed that it's really just going to just immediately shift so much.
And if you're just tuning in, this is the Feminist Radio Collective every Wednesday between 10 and noon. And you're listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz. The number here in the studio is 427-3772. We have Kelly Green and Diane Patterson here in the studio with us. And if you have a request or anything that you'd like to talk about, because it is International Women's Day, we're celebrating International Women's Day live here in the studio.
That's right, and the global women's strike.
And the global women's strike.
And acknowledging women's work and women's contributions to society, and acknowledging the diversity just within women, just who they are and what they do, is also needs to be recognized. We can't just say, we can't just have, society seems to focus on just a young, thin, you know, woman, young woman, and not the fact that there is diversity of size and thought and ability and gender preference and those sorts of things. So we are celebrating women of all sorts. And that's a big issue. We have teenagers, and I've had to deal with my daughter, help supporting her and not taking on society, telling her that her body isn't okay because she has some fat on her body. She was 15, 16 years old. They still have fat on their body. Women need to have fat on their body. It's not until you're in your late 20s that you begin to sort of go into another phase in your body. And then later on in life, you go into another phase. And it's always changing. And really, the biggest effort, the most work that I've had to do as a mother, then the biggest challenges is defending my daughter from the patriarchy and oppression
kind of, weird
of,
because
of girls.
Really, what is being force-fed to us as ideal is anorexic,
yeah.
is bulimic, and is weak, cannot stand up, cannot fight. So they encourage us not to eat enough. They encourage us to not be able to fight. And that's like, I mean, the image is there, but beyond that image, the health. Like, they're encouraging us to be unhealthy, and it's really sad.
And there are kids that my daughter knows that are dealing with eating disorders.
Not much different from foot binding or any of the other weird stuff that's made us weak throughout the ages. And Andrea Dworkin speaks to that, too, and she notes that the weaker the woman, the more powerful and opulent the man appears, because then he doesn't need her work if he can hire his own slaves to do it, kind of a thing. It's
some of the
analysis of
some of the history of that we read, that originally they were enslaved for their labor, but as the wealth of the men grew, they could afford to buy other slaves. So then the woman became an ornament, where
her victimization becomes eroticized, and her submission, and all of her, her low being on the ground and flat out before us. And we see this in Vogue magazine today. We see this constantly being fed to young women, that what's really sexy is being weak, victimized, and being flat on our backs with our legs open. And, you know, I would like to encourage women to stand up, fight back, to maintain our sense of integrity, because we need at least 50% of those images to be showing women who are vitally a part of society, who are contributing to the betterment of society, who do the important work on a regular basis, because those are the images we are starving. We don't have those images of women. All we see are these anorexic females flat on their back. And so if you can help a woman get up off her back today, get a woman off her back
today.
We
either see that or we see Cindy Sheehan with her shirt over her head, and it's her picture of her butt.
Her bra
in
was
the
showing.
Sentinel.
It was unbelievable. I mean, call the Sentinel. They should.
So get rid of the media. I mean, the media, it's bad for the environment.
Just go back to the Bardic tradition of taking information from one community to the next.
And
traveling.
Telling stories.
Telling stories.
Oral. Totally. Oral history. That's where it's at.
Well, that's what the Vagina Monologues, I think, started in a way, is to start to do that and to re-own who we are and empower ourselves to be able to be proud of our body and our sexuality.
Yeah, and to learn through Andrea Dworkin and other women who've done the research of what the history is of our oppression is really important to understand why we are who we are today and why the men are who they are today. You know, and we see the example of that, but we're also beginning to see what it looks like when women are empowered and when men are in touch with their divine feminine, and we're all working together. I mean, I've seen men participating with children in a way that I have never seen in my entire life. And I know that that's because there is a collective effort to heal and raise a divine feminine, not just in re-empowering women, but allowing men to be those gentle, compassionate, caring, helpful human beings that they can be as well. And I know that their conditioning has removed a lot of that sensitivity. And so it's great to see that returning. I always think, wow, this is great. The women are getting some help, and the men are participating, and it's so clear that it takes a village, that it takes men and women together raising children in a positive way. My concern about the men getting back involved with the children is that if they're coming in a patriarchal way, and that they feel that they are owners of those children and owners of their mothers, or that they somehow that somehow fertilization equates birth, or that they have some innate knowing of child rearing, I question that and I challenge that. So I acknowledge them for participating, but they need to look into just exactly how they're positioning themselves with their families and with the children, and are they reinforcing the mother? Because what I see is that they're battling over who's going to tell the children what to do, and there's no reinforcement of the mother. Who birth the children, who breastfed the children, who take care of the children. And I know there's many, many men who are doing full-time parenting right now, and I acknowledge them for being in those situations. But for men who are sharing it with the mothers, are they working with the mothers? And that's what I don't see. I don't see them reinforcing the mother's relationship with the child. There's this overemphasis in the media
They've written the mothers completely out of the stories in Hollywood. You can hardly find them on the television, and it's just the men. And I think that's some sort of backlash. That we don't even need the women to have children because the men can raise them. So I ask the men to look into the history of the oppression of themselves and of women. And as we come into community relationships around children, and we all come back together, you know, let's do this in a high consciousness way, in an evolutionary way, in a way that's different than it's been done for 5,000 years.
And I would just encourage men who are full-time fathers or even soul fathers of children to try to get in touch with what you're calling the divine feminine within themselves, so that they're not raising their children as only a father, but as the father and mother, because that's basically who they are. If they're the only parent to the child, and if we have both inside, just get in touch with that.
Right. And I would also invite the knowing that that family, well, the institution of fatherhood, the word family, all of this stuff came post-patriarchy. Before this, we didn't have these roles. They were all born out of patriarchal-dominated religions, basically. So, you know, the idea of family or community comes in many shapes and forms. And, you know, I've raised my daughter on my own with my community. And my daughter's missing anything. She said men and women and old and young in her life. And society wants to try to tell her that she is, but she isn't. So I invite the community to acknowledge there are many ways to raise children. And we've been very, very successful with community support and coloring outside the lines. And there's, because of the overemphasis of the institution of fatherhood, we've forgotten that there are many ways to raise children in healthy ways. And so I invite the Santa Cruz community, which I know is already one of the most open communities in the country. But some of these paradigms that even our most alternative folks in this community are still bound by some of these ideas that are preconditioned. We are colonized people. We are colonized people. Unless we are actively decolonizing our mind, deinstitutionalizing ourselves, we are preconditioned. Everything we think, everything we do has been conditioned into us. It was conditioned into our parents and our grandparents, et cetera, and passed on to us. So, you know, free our minds and free our souls and help each other to be free.
Yeah, Kelly Green. I am just one girl, singer on the street. I'ma live my life as sweetly as I can. I look down in the street today. Calling to me. Ooh. their song, forgiveness. Visualize the day the people meet. If I could run through these walls of illusion, take my hand, we'll run through these walls of illusion. Illusory separation. We are unity, unity in motion. We are unity, unity in motion. Hey! Oh, oh.
Patterson here in studio at Free Radio Santa Cruz. You're listening to 101.1 FM, and we're celebrating International Women's Day, which is today, and we're marking it with a Women Say No to War, 5 p.m. at the town clock today. And also, Kelly Green and Diane Patterson will have a house concert tonight, and if you are interested to find directions, give a call to
831-515-4100 extension 107. If you leave us your number, we'll call you back with directions. And I'd like to speak to unity for a minute, because a part of our effort on International Women's Day with the Global Women's Strike is to try to build some rainbow bridges and to connect with our sisters of color in this community. And I actually felt like this season I've seen more people of color than ever before in Santa Cruz. I mean, typically it just feels too darn white here for me. And I would love to be able to build more bridges with our communities of different backgrounds and nationalities and races and religions and et cetera. So it is a part of our effort to connect. And sometimes I get a little uncomfortable on how to approach somebody I don't know to make that kind of connection. So I hope if anyone's listening out there, that really is a big part of our effort, is to create an event and a gathering that is the diversity that we all imagine the world should be. And it will continue to be a part of our effort to try to connect with the women around Santa Cruz and in Watsonville. It was another part of our effort last year to connect with the farming community and to get some of the stories from the women's farmers. And I tried to make that bridge, and it never actually happened. So if anybody wants to help us to bridge to the farming community, we're also trying to connect with the Brown Berets and the work that they're doing with the youth. And we would just love to share more and more time with our sisters of color here in our community here.
Yeah, I know Jen Laskin is doing a lot of organizing with young women, and she's got a young women's group going on Wednesdays that asked me to come to speak to, and I know that if I share some information, she would love to have.
Oh, that would
come
be great, because I haven't talked to Jen this year. We didn't get to do as much as we wanted to do, and so thank you for reminding me about Jen, because she typically is involved with this effort.
Yeah, she's working with Brown Berets, and there's also the Chicana Learning Center up at the university is very well organized. It's expanding. It's doing lots of events. It's a really wonderful group to connect with. They had a conference a couple of weeks ago about the Asian Pacific Islanders groups trying to establish a a whole, you know, studies, you know, a study or a group up there, but they don't have that quite yet. They're still working on that one. But this is, you know, there's a lot of wonderful organizing efforts going on at the university. So it's also bringing a lot of people of color into our community, which is a blessing. So for us to be able to contact and work with a broader range of people here in Santa Cruz, because, you know, I've lived here for 30 years, and it is very white. And as we have a bigger discrepancy between the rich and the poor, it becomes even more difficult for a lot of us to try to function in this community.
Well, it costs too much to live here, yeah. First of all. Yeah. You know, and then they did that breakdown of $27,000 a year it costs for a single person to live in California. That's a full-time $12 an hour job that you have to have in order to meet your economically meet your basic needs. They did a breakdown. $27,000 for one person. That's out of hand.
It is. It's completely obscene.
It's oppression is what it is. It's economic oppression of everybody.
Well, I just want to say that I think there are a lot of Chicano people in town and working here from Watsonville and other areas, and I think that we are separated by colonization. I think that we're bred to be feel separated from each other and to be uncomfortable and to not embrace each other. And I feel like what I'm looking for in my world is not even tolerance or acceptance, but actually embracing. I want to embrace the people around me and have everyone feel a part of it.
And that being said, I want to put a call out to any people of color out there, especially women of color, to apply for a show here at Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
We have very few people of color and even fewer women of color. And I think it's really important that we let you know that we want you here. We want you here. Spanish speaking, we want you here really, really bad. So please check out our website or call 427-4523. Or check the website, please, if you're interested in being part of Free Radio. And thank you.
If you are interested, you can always contact MediaWatch at 423-6355. And we will work with you, help you get a tape together, help you with your application. We want to make this happen, and we want to provide that as a way for our community to help bridge that gap and to create that embrace of all people here together and
I like
celebrating International Women's Day.
Yeah, and if a couple freaky women, Diane and I, approach you randomly, it's really from love.
Organizing about the global women's strike.
Well, if there's some time, I could read a couple stories of how the global women's strike has helped to improve lives of women in other countries. I have a couple stories here. This one's from Uganda.
Kabong.
It says the poorest are the grassroots women globally. We are neglected and discriminated against because we are poor. But the global strike has changed our lives. We have gained free medical services, no cost sharing. The Land Act has also allowed women to own land and properties and inherit the late husband's properties. The strike has helped to express our point of view in a more effective way. Like we say, invest in caring, not killing. Wars will never bring peace to the world. And then I have a little something here from Argentina, Santa Fe. For more than 15 years, we struggle in isolation for the huge amount of work we women do caring for others to be recognized with a wage and a pension. While this country was being sold and put in debt, women were more and more impoverished and had to support a hungry population with only our free work. In all this time, we have been called all sorts of names. For trade unions, civil servants, political parties, and many feminists, we were backward and mad. As we felt we were weak, weakening, we had the immense pleasure of finding that there were other, quote-unquote, mad ones in many parts of the world who had been in the struggle much longer than us. With the first strike call, we found these women on every continent. This has strengthened our organization enormously. It has made us revalue the autonomy which has prevented
any party from using us. From 2000, we have made a great leap forward locally and nationally. Now they look at us with respect. We have been able to reach more grassroots women all the time, encouraging them to form autonomous inter-neighborhood women's networks and to relate to other organizations which share our goals. Many times we had enclosed ourselves within borders put up by those who dominate us, thinking that we are worse off or better fighters than everyone else. Since joining the strike, we have realized that there aren't better or worse struggles or experiences. Each of us invents thousands of ways to survive and take the strike forward, which is the synthesis of all of our convictions. This year, most of our city, 150,000 people, ended up underwater because of river flooding and the corruption of those who rule us. Once again, this is Argentina. Strike women in other countries gave us support we needed. Most importantly, we can carry on our class action for justice against the most powerful without fear, because we know that we are not alone and that in the face of any attack, women in other parts of the world will raise their voices in our defense.
Yeah. All right. It makes me think of Dana Frank's work and the work that she's done with the banana unions, the women working in banana labor unions. She brought them here to the university, and they were coaching and working with the janitorial service workers up at the university, trying to help them, organize, because there's so much that we can share. There's so much information that we can help one another with, and that taking that perspective is really wonderful. So it made me think of her work.
Yeah, these stories are amazing. If you are a web person and you go to the globalwomenstrike.net, that's one S, there are stories from women all over the world about how taking one day and refusing to work, they say, you know, when the women stop, the world stops.
Well, I mean, it goes back to Lysistrata when the women said that they would stop having sex. This could be a good
with the warriors, right? With the men who were warring.
Yeah, with the men who were warring. I mean, think about it. There's things we can do.
And wasn't there with March 18th just around the corner, when the Iraqi occupation was starting, invasion, wasn't there like they did that play? Right?
In, did that, yes.
Like mm-hmm. all over right. in dissent, is that right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's it's been going on for a long time trying to stop male dominations, trying to go and name the patriarchy and say what a loser kind of situation, having one group on top and another group on bottom. It doesn't work. It's not half as fun as standing eye to eye, working together, embracing one another, holding hands, and sharing in the power that we have as humans. And we're all now in the shadow of this nuclear armaments that are just growing with Bush's mm-hmm. administration and this work now that he's done with India. This is very frightening time, and it's got to be our time to take our space back and our lives back, because our silence has not worked. It's silence and inactivity is not working for us. So however we can share our enthusiasm and our energy with one another to help one another rise up, I think is going to be vitally important in the next few years or next
Absolutely.
Few days.
And again, across all the cultures and the different groups that we have in our towns and cities, and just aligning together so that when the moment comes and we do have to, whatever we're going to have to do, it seems like the time is now, because people are dying in our name. But
I mean, they're planning a nuclear holocaust. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's what it looks like. And they're planning a showdown in the Middle East. It's what, you know, they're wanting Iran to bomb somebody so that they can retaliate and cause this Armageddon-like situation. And I grew up in the 60s. I'm the elder of the group here. And I was always made very frightened of nuclear war, and I grew up with this very visceral fear of it. I went through the Bay of Pigs. I remember going to my grocery store, and all of my family and all of us are thinking we're going to live in our basement, and what was that going to be like, and what was it going to be like to live in the in a world of war, of nuclear war? And now, I mean, people don't really have shelters. Like, they had shelters then, too. People, I literally would put shelters. And it's not about living in fear, but it's about how are we going to deal. And this is a situation that Bush administration is pushing. This is something that he talks about, tactical nuclear weapons. Now, we've had these since World War II, but we haven't used them. And now Bush is talking about wanting to use these tactical nuclear weapons, which, you know, again, we have Trident submarines going around. One warhead can kill a population of 1 million people. And we have 300,000 of them, you know, kind of moving about in the seas. I mean, this kind of reality is something we have to wake up to. I, you know, people always think, oh, Helen Caldicott's kind of this crazy person who's been over there shouting up and down. But until we all start shouting up and down, it will only take 2 weeks. 2 weeks to disarm all of our nuclear weapons globally. It would take that time.
I want to say that although I didn't grow up in the same era that you did, I was really, really scared of nuclear weapons. And I still pretty much feel the same way about the, like, shelters. Like, there is no shelter. The nuclear bomb comes, I'm fried. And even if I am able to dig a hole deep enough that I'm not fried, I'm not going to make it. Nobody's really going to make it. They've never had the nuclear bombs to the point where the, you know, planet has clouded over and prevented the sun from shining through. And if, you know, if that's where we're going, we're all going to die. It doesn't matter what gender or what class even we are. We're all going to die. And I am deathly afraid of nuclear weapons. I'm
Let's
terrified.
Start obsessing on world peace instead of how fat we are. God,
totally,
<dang it.
laughs> exactly.
That's a major
and on spreading
distraction,
love.
Is it not? To
totally.
Have women spiraling downward in self-hatred. No, let's spiral up in the ways that we will make peace together and have healthy minds and bodies and hearts together.
And work to disarm, because this is becoming more and more of an issue that we have to focus on disarmament and stopping that kind of participation in the war machine.
And Helen, if you're out there listening, there's a room full of people here that support you. And
oh,
do
yeah,
not think that you are crazy.
Tremendous respect. We've gotten to hear her speak in the past, and she brings a lot of awareness here to the United States.
A woman.
And she says things like the U.S. needs a revolution, and also the food makes her sick here.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when most of your food chain is genetically engineered. It's grown in devitalized soils. It's overprocessed. You know, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of issues that we could go into. But really, what we try to do with Diane's music and the work that we're doing is really to focus on the visions of a world that is going to end up in peace.
A beautiful world.
And a world that's going to end up in harmony, and a world that's going to end up healthy again, with the waters clean and the air's clean and our relationships are healthy with all of those things. That's what we see. And more and more, you might see some of that shift. I mean, you've had a longer view. I know just in the last few years, we see just these little microscopic changes that weren't there before. And the fact that Cindy Sheehan is doing what she's doing, and that women all over the world are rising up, and hopefully they'll be listened to, right? Listen to women for a change.
They will be listened to.
And that's what we're here. We need to start listening to women's voices about what they're saying, and not just women who are going along with the system, like your Condoleezzas and your
or whatever.
We're talking about women who can see that the direction that the United States is taking is not positive. It's not healthy, and so many people disagree with it.
Right. The global monitoring of media, women's monitoring of media. The report just came out on February 15th, and it basically was saying that if you're in a third world country, your media is as balanced as it is here in our technologically savvy cultures, and in Europe, that it's bad all over, but it's just as bad here as it is in our third world countries. So
it's just they're not reporting on it here. I mean, we don't get it in the media. Is that what you're saying? I mean,
I'm saying is that women's stories, women reporting, women producing, women behind the mic, women's story, you know, anything to do with media, women are not being listened to. That it's continuing to be male-dominated. And but the interesting thing was it was across the board. It wasn't any better here. It's certainly not better here in the United States.
Right.
But we tend to like to think of ourselves as being more liberated, more the things are more equal and the things are happening. But so we need to take a more concerted effort to be able to put forward our stories, our voices, and to make certain that they get heard and that these and that women of color's voices be heard here in Santa Cruz and, you know, all the different things that we need to be able to make that room for that and to keep working on that one.
And that there's alternative media like Free Radio and many of the other community radio stations. I heard some women speaking on the radio last night. It was probably NPR or whatever. That is not liberated. You cannot be sponsored by Lockheed Martin and be a free radio. You cannot be, free speech radio. And they were getting all their information from the radios, from the media station that their husband watched, which was Fox News. And so here are women who are being heard on the radio, but they're getting their information from Fox News. And I know that Fox News has been exposed. As far as, like,
right.
There are facts,
that
that their media is slanted. It's not about really informing people like you can find here on Free Radio or KPFA or many of the other stations that are absolutely crucial. I mean,
it's about commercial free. It's about really being able to have alternative media. There's lots of ways we can fund it. Right now we need to be writing to stop this merger that's happening in the AT&T merger.
That's right.
It's being presented as just, oh, we're going to lose 10,000 jobs. Okay, that's one part of it. We need to focus on how we have to stop this monopoly from happening, because this is how they're going to be able to own and control all of our access to information. We are an isolated superpower. We need information that is not corporate controlled.
And does any of this look familiar? I mean, history is playing itself out again. I mean, what's been going on, we've been told by the elders, has always been going on. And whether it be Nazi Germany or other periods of time, I mean, apparently there was an earlier crusades with the Christians and the Arabs. And then when the resident goes over there again, he calls it a crusade. And I get a little history from some liberated television, find out, it's happening again, which is how they felt over there. The people over there were like, crusade. Oh my gosh, here they come again, you know? And so, and here in this country, I think that we need to be careful about being the good Germans, I guess, is what people were called in Germany who didn't either know or weren't paying attention or were literally misinformed about what was really happening. And I'm very concerned. I have family members. I know I see people in our community who don't know what's really going on. And that's scares me that it could happen, that the Muslims around the country could be picked up, and that extreme activists now are being picked up, you know, ones that are going to extremes.
Right, Laura Berg, I remember that, you know, she wrote a very benign kind of wonderful letter to her local paper, and she's being charged with sedition, which is the attempt to overthrow the government.
Oh, really?
She's a veterans nurse. She worked for the Veterans Administration, and she was just
these
a nurse.
These are things we should be concerned about.
I mean, she wrote a letter, and she's being charged with sedition.
You're kidding. Here in?
It was in Santa Fe, New Mexico. Well, we were going to read her letter on the air today, but I'd rather have – we only have 15 minutes left, so we really want to dedicate this time to celebrating the fact that we have Diane Patterson and Kelly Green here in the studios with our Feminist Radio Collective show. So,
yeah, and there's a few gatherings today.
There are gatherings.
The town clock.
Town clock at 5 p.m. It's a coalition of women coming together. We're going to celebrate International Women's Day and Women Say No to War in solidarity with the Iraqi women who tried, and some were able to come here to the United States, because we need their voices. We want to hear their stories. And we are doing this in solidarity with their actions around International Women's Day.
Right, because Code Pink and Medea Benjamin have been working to bring
And on March 25th, on Saturday afternoon, they will be here in the Santa Cruz. We haven't set up a venue for them, but we're working on making having an opportunity to directly hear these Iraqi women, which would be fantastic. And I think Scott Ritter is traveling with them, so it's going to be a Scott Ritter combo talk. Hopefully, I'm hoping we can get Loudon Nelson for that afternoon, but we're working on that. So.
We're so lucky here in Santa Cruz to get so much more information.
Yeah, they're coming into the Bay Area, and so now we can hopefully get them to come down as well. Good, I want to hear more music.
More music. I was thinking about your song that, your newest song that was born in the Moon Lodge. part of what we're also trying to integrate into the Peaceful Revolution and through our work is to bring the siesta back, the rest. So many of us are tired and pooped out, and it doesn't stop. The need for us, whether it be with our children or our community, never stops. But we managed to get a couple days in the summer last year, and Diane was able to go and create a little moon lodge up in Grass Valley with our community, and a song was born from that experience. And we feel like if we can't take care of ourselves, we're not going to be able to take care of anything else. And so within all of our committed efforts to make this world a better place, we need time to make ourselves better. And that's what I was saying about wintertime, because for us, we follow the rhythms of the season. And like the coming spring, we're just starting our 2006 tour season. And we stop in the wintertime. And it's so hard to just find a place to stop, because if you're not generating income, you can't pay to be there. How do you keep eating? You know, people are disappointed in you because you're not as available, et cetera, on and on. So we want to have everyone thinking about this. So we're not the only one saying, hey, wait a minute, I'm really tired here and I need to rest, or I can't do this today because I've done too much. And I think we need to give each other permission to sing for a siesta. Viva la siesta!
Good time.
to stall. All the village teach the youth to see the sacred and the truth and share. All we need is here. We release our pain and grief and see the ancient world becoming new. It's all inside of you. Evolution.
That was awesome.
We only have 10 minutes left. I'm going to make a request for freedom.
Okay.
I want to go off with a bang.
I actually want to make a couple requests, too.
What do you want?
One of them is I want you guys to do a couple station IDs, if you would. Yeah. You guys know Free Radio 101.1 FM?
Free Radio 101.1.
And your name, too, please.
Mm-hmm.
Should we do it together? Listen to
Free Radio 101. Wait, come on, we can do that better. We always listen to Free Radio 101.1.
Santa Cruz.
Let's try it again.
This is Diane Patterson.
And this is Kelly Green. And we listen to Free Radio 101.1 FM Santa Cruz. Peace.
Another thing that I wanted to thank you for, actually, is just keeping it positive. You know, sometimes I fall back and obsess on the negative, as you saw me doing as I was explaining the world. You're going, whoa, girl, don't go there.
I wasn't thinking that.
Well, I don't want to go there. But to be able to envision the world as we want it is so much more important and so much more positive than to look at the world as we have it and complain. In a way that I just want to thank you so much for doing just that, because I think that's the way we're going to be able to achieve it.
That's the goddess warrior in all of us. We have to know the information, but we have to continue to fight for what is right and what the vision of the world that we know we can live in.
Yeah.
Woo!
Be it.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to go out with Hey Corporate Rule.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
We've still got a little.
Okay. When we got fives, we can do it. Want to do something
else? Well, and just remember that we're gathering today.
5 p.m.
At the town clock, and then again this evening with community gathering and a house concert. And
can you give out that number one more time?
7:30-ish to 10 o'clock-ish.
Can you give out the number?
We like
the
that linear
number?
Time is dissolving, and okay. But we'll give you some. What'd you say?
That
number is 831-515-4100, extension 107.
And that's for directions to the house party tonight with Diane Patterson, Kelly Green, and we are Women Say No to War, celebrating International Women's Day at the Town Clock, 5 p.m. Please come. Bring your friends. Everyone's welcome.
Yeah, and I want to put shouts out to Alice and Colin and their family. We've been parked in their driveway up in Happy Valley for 2 months. And they've just been beautiful, giving community to us, and they gave us a place to rest for the winter. And I want to thank the guys that are in here on the knobs and the cameras and listening and holding that space with us. That feels really good.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Hey, corporate rule, that's all they ever taught us back in school. Yeah, there's mathematics for my taxes, and history is grinding axes. Science is soulless, even art is controlled, unless the people get a taste of some real freedom. Just wanna chill and hear the sound of my own breathing. Yeah, freedom, come on, freedom. Yeah, what's the meaning of this thing that we call freedom? Well, is it freedom to buy the new product line, or is it freedom to rally out and speak my mind? November 30, 1999, I say the people got a taste of some real freedom. Yeah, the whole world was watching, and Seattle was quaking, and the people got a taste of some real freedom. Yeah, freedom, come on, freedom. Yeah, freedom. Yeah, yeah, freedom. While our minds are trained by ads and shows, the food is all chemicals and old horse bones. Our brains are all dead hungry or overfed. I think it's time we leave them all and get some fresh air. Addicted zombies in the looking with a blank stare. Yeah, freedom, come on, freedom. Yeah, freedom. Yeah, yeah, freedom. Yeah, freedom.
Free radio.
Freedom. Yeah, freedom. Yeah, yeah, freedom. Yeah, freedom.
Break out.
Freedom.
Shake out.
Freedom.
Break out.
Freedom.
Shake out.
Freedom.
Break out.
Freedom.
Shake out.
Freedom.
Break out.
Freedom.
Shake out. Shake out. Shake out. Break out. Freedom.
Women break out.
Free
women
radio break Santa out. Thank you so much. I so appreciate your being here today.
Thank you.
This is a wonderful opportunity, and we're celebrating International Women's Day. Each and every one of you should go out and celebrate International Women's Day. Be kind to yourself. Be kind to everyone.
And celebrate women and value their work. I was trying to tell my daughter that this morning. This is why we're striking. You don't value my work.
Yeah, it's not something that they're taught to do, and it's a really hard thing to ask for. I have two males in my household, and I noticed the other day they were humiliating me as a part of a, you know, and they thought it was funny. They're being funny. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we need respect. We all need respect to do what we're doing.
That's right. Thank you, Anne.
Okay,
thank you so much, Anne.
Yeah.
We value you and all that you've done for so long in this community.
Right.
Santa Cruz is a better place because you are aware and awake and activated, and we feel a part of your lineage, and we just are so grateful for you. And
we all
everyone
need one another.
That,
yeah, we need one another to maintain and to keep.
So
and
Faith Patrick says we stand on the shoulders of those who've come before us, and then women for very, 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 very long time have been trying to get freedom for women.
We have a caller.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Caller, are you there?
Good.
I'm here.
Go ahead.
I just want to say thank you for everything that you guys are doing, and I'm really glad that you're all going to get out there at the town clock this evening and make your presence known. And I've really enjoyed the show, and I just don't think I'm going to be out there just because I know I'm not important enough. But anyway, I just wanted to say thanks. Bye.
No.
Well, I thank you for your call, and I just want to surround you with a lot of love because you are important, and your voice is important, and your tears are important, and your anger is important, and we love you.
Right. Talk to us. Whoever just called, I don't know your name, come and talk to us. We're going to try to make the town clock so that maybe Diane can sing a song, and then we'll have to rush off to the house gathering, community gathering. But please, let us give you a hug, and you are important.
Give out that phone number.
515-4100, extension 107. And those feelings of not feeling important, those are not ours.
Those are not ours. We did not create those inside ourselves. Yeah. They were given to us by a society that has devalued us. And so I support you in feeling valued and feeling loved and to come out and gather with other women that are feeling the exact same way as you are, and they want to feel different, and they want to feel connected.
And honestly, we need you. The movement for peace and change and social justice needs you and everyone in order for it anything to shift. More of us have to wake up and participate.
And thank you, Santa Cruz. Thank you, Free Radio. And stay tuned
for Democracy Now. And
right.
I just want to say, if you're out there and you're ready to do something for International Women's Day, love your mama.